today as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place today. You know, and oftentimes I seek the Lord on behalf of the people in this church. There's so many different people at so many different places in their walk with God in this church. There are people at every position. There are brand new converts. There are people that have been in the church for 50 years and everything in between. As I was seeking the Lord this week in prayer, the Lord spoke these words into my spirit as I was reading into the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, a very familiar passage of scripture, but I believe that the Lord spoke to me in a new way for this body this week. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter. The book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read very quickly, verse 1 through 10. I know that I'm the only thing standing between you and soup. And I don't want to become that. So I'm gonna preach to you what the Lord has given me today, and I'm going to get out of your way and let you have some fellowship. But I believe the Lord wants to speak something into us. It was amazing because without intention this morning, I felt our Sunday school class begin to lean this way and to lay the foundation. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, if you have not found the value in the morning session, know that you're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself of a sure foundation. You're robbing yourself of the teaching of God's word. He wants to lay a foundation in your life. Amen. But I want to build, I want to speak to you what God has spoken into my spirit this week as the pastor of this church. The book of Daniel, the 6th chapter and the very first verse. You're all familiar with this biblical story, the story of Daniel and the lion's den. But today, the approach that I want to take, I believe God has given me a different approach on this text. And I want to share with you what God's placed in my spirit. Daniel 6 and 1, shout yes when you're there. Daniel 6 in the first verse, the word of the Lord says that it pleased King Darius, who is the king over the Medes and the Persians, over the Babylonian Empire. It pleased King Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole entire kingdom. And over these three presidents, he put three presidents over the 120 princes. And of these three presidents, Daniel, the Bible says, was the first. Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Verse 3 says, this thing's cracking and popping up here pretty bad. Verse 3 says that then this Daniel was preferred. Daniel, the child of God, was preferred above the other presidents and the other princes, because the Bible says there was an excellent spirit in him. And the king sought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4 says, and the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. How many know the enemy's not just going to let you quietly be blessed by God? But the presidents and the princes, they sought to find occasion against Daniel. They wanted to stop Daniel from becoming the man concerning the kingdom. But they could find no fault or no occasion in Daniel, for as much as he was faithful to God, he was faithful to the king, and neither was there any error or any fault found in him. Then said these men, We can't find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So then these princes and these presidents assembled themselves together before the king, and they said unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes of the kingdom, the counselors and the captains, we have all consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days, except of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree. Sign this writing that it might not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. Right here at the 10th verse, I want to hang my hat for just a moment. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew, everybody turn to your neighbor and say, Daniel knew. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, look what he did. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and he opened his windows in his chamber towards Jerusalem. Whew. He knelt down upon his knees and he began to cry out to the Lord 3 times a day. And he prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This was not a surprise attack from the enemy. I mean, no, sometimes we get surprise attacks from the enemy. This was not a surprise attack from the enemy. Daniel knew that the enemy was coming for him. And I want to preach something that I believe is going to change your walk with God today. I want to preach to you when you know. When you know. All over this house, let's collectively magnify the name of the Lord today. Come on, clap those hands unto the Lord. Open those mouths and shout hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Say thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning, starting me on my way, giving me a warm house to sleep in. Lord, you're so good. Inhabit today the praises of your people. Thank you for your almighty presence in this place today that we have already experienced. We give you glory today. Bless your word in the name of Jesus. Bless your word today. Lord, bless you. You may be seated today. When you know. When you know. Daniel understood that prayer is a glorious delight. God help us when we view prayer as something that we dread to do. You're already in trouble. Can I tell you, when you're praying because you feel like you have to, you're already in spiritual trouble. Because prayer is a glorious delight as the spirit of humanity interacts and contacts the spirit of divinity. Prayer is where heaven touches earth, if you will. Prayer is a glorious delight, and that shows you just how special and how important our prayer life is in our walk with God. You can't be close to God without learning to pray. We got to pray. We got to seek God. Amen. And Daniel understood that he could not remain close to God without praying. I wish that everybody in the church understood what Daniel understood today. At times, I wish that I could understand what Daniel understood today, brother Eric, because there's times I got to tell myself, man, what's going on with you? You got to get down and you got to seek the Lord. Because let me tell you something, I'm convinced that a pastor that don't seek the Lord for his church don't need to be a pastor. Amen. So I know that there are people under my care and under my leadership today that I must seek God on your behalf. Amen. And I don't take that lightly today. So I seek the same spirit that Daniel had when he understood the importance of prayer. And you know, many people would say, well, it was only 30 days. He could have just went with the law of the land. But can I tell you, Daniel understood that 30 days was 31 days too long to not seek his God. Hallelujah. Daniel understood that prayer is so important and so vital to the child of God. You cannot be close to a God that you do not pray to. Daniel understood he couldn't remain close to God without prayer, without fellowship, without worship. So he prayed. He prayed. Even when he knew, the Bible said, that they would throw him in the lion's den, he still prayed. Daniel knew. You know the story today. I don't have to read the whole story to you. You've been reading this story in the Bible since you were in Sunday school and Sister Courtney was your teacher. You know the story. You know that Daniel, the king was deceived and they tricked him and Daniel prays anyway and they throw Daniel in the lion's den and the Lord shuts the mouths of the lions and you know, the king regrets his decision and he stands before the den and he yells out to Daniel and Daniel repeats what everybody else was saying and he says, oh, king, live forever. You all know the story. You know the story how that the king honored and the Daniel and his God. We know that the Lord shut the lion's mouths and we know that the king honored Daniel and honored Daniel's God by throwing his accusers in the den. This time the Lord didn't shut the lion's mouths. But this time the lions devoured them. But can I tell you something about Daniel? We're not here necessarily so much to talk about the lion's den. And we're not here to talk about it's better that a millstone be tied about your neck and you be cast into the depths of the sea than offend one of God's little ones. We're here to talk about something different today. We're here to talk about Daniel knew. And let me tell you something today that when Daniel knew, amen, that praying unto God was going to get him thrown in the lion's den, he prayed anyway. And can I tell you, it's a good thing, Brother Paul, that those lions did not try to eat Daniel anyway. And I'll tell you why, they would not have enjoyed him. You know why? Because Daniel was half grit and the rest backbone. He wasn't afraid of what they were going to do to him. He wasn't afraid of the attacks of the enemy. He wasn't afraid of what living for God was going to cost him. He knew the price that there was to pay. He knew what could possibly happen to him. But what did he do when everybody began to stab him in the back? Those that were closest to him went to the king and said, oh, king, we want to sign a decree that anybody that prays to their God, you're going to throw him in the lion's den. What did Daniel do? He knew what they were going to do to him. And he still went into his chamber. He still opened the windows toward the east. He still cried out to God and gave him praise and gave him glory and saw and gave his petitions to the Lord. Daniel knew. Them lions didn't want to taste of Daniel anyway because he was half grit and the rest backbone. He wasn't afraid of what they were going to do to him. We talked about it this morning with the Apostle Peter. Daniel did not run from attacks. Daniel did not let the enemy play on his fear. How many know that if you let the enemy do it, he's going to play on your fear? If you let the enemy do it, he's going to play on your weakness. Amen. That's why we got to understand when we are weak, he is made strong in our weakness. We got to understand today that it's not us anyway. It's our God that we serve today. Come on, listen to me today. Daniel knew that even if the lions would have devoured to him, he would have been better to pray to God and let those lions eat him than he would have been to go 30 days without seeking his God. That's what kind of faith we need, Sister Tammy. That's what kind of faith we need today. We need to know that the enemy is coming for us, but we're going to serve God with all of our heart anyway. We need to know that people's going to turn their back on us, but we got to serve God with all of our heart anyway. We got to know that people's going to disappoint us, but we got to serve God with all of our heart anyway. And Daniel knew, amen, he wasn't going to allow the enemy to play on his fears. He taught us we have an enemy of our souls today. That enemy will do anything and everything to keep you from God's glory in your life. He'll turn the very people against you that you never thought would turn on you. He'll cause church people to disappoint you. Can I tell you, in a great house, how many feel like this is a great house? This is a great house. This is a good church. Come on, this isn't a perfect church. Come on, I told our leadership last week, if you find a perfect church, please don't join it because you're going to ruin it. I know there's some folks in here seeking a perfect church, but when you find it, please don't join it. You're going to ruin that thing quick. There ain't no such thing as a perfect church, Brother Joe. In a great house, there's vessels of wood. It's not just vessels of gold and silver. Come on, but there's vessels of wood and hubble and stay. There are stubble and hay. There are all kinds of different vessels in God's house. Amen. And I couldn't tell you how many evangelists have come through this place. And they tell me, they say, man, I love the fact that you got a lot of new converts and a first generation Pentecostals in that church. Because it tells us that you're reaching into your community. Amen. I don't want to belong to a perfect church today. I want to belong to a church that's reaching the unperfect, the imperfect. Come on, those that need God, those that understand they need God, but those that are willing to say, although all hell assails me, no matter what, I'm going to seek God to change me and to shape me and to mold me and to turn my life around and make me what he wants me to be. Daniel understood that 30 days was 31 days too long to not seek his God. I'm telling you, church, the enemy will do anything and everything he can to keep you from God's glory. I need you to understand something today. I need you to understand that Daniel's battle was not won in the lion's den. I need you to hear me for just a moment today. Daniel's battle was not won, Sister Debbie, down there when they threw him in the lion's den and the Lord shut the mouth of those lions. Daniel's battle was won before they ever put him in the pit. Daniel's battle was won when he knew that the princes and the governors and the counselors and the presidents were stabbing him in the back. Don't think that Daniel didn't know. Come on, the title of my message today is When You Know. Daniel knew that they were stabbing him in the back. Daniel knew what the decree was set to do. Daniel knew that they were coming for him to try to rob him of God's blessings in his life. But Daniel understood that even when you know, you got to live for God with everything that's down inside your soul today. You got to live for God with everything that's in you. Hallelujah. We need to understand today, Daniel's battle wasn't won in the lion's den. Daniel's battle was won when he knew, and he did it anyway. Daniel's battle was won when he got backstabbed by the people that was closest to him, but he continued to serve God anyway. Daniel's battle was won when he knew that all hell was coming for him, but he kept living for God anyway. When he knew that he faced an impossible situation, but he trusted God anyway. Come on. Fear tells us. Fear says what if, but faith says even if. Come on. If many of us were in that situation, they say, man, what's going to happen? What if I get down and what if they see me open my windows to the east? What if they see me kneel down, Brother Jason? What if they hear me cry out unto the Lord? They're going to throw me in a lion's den. That's fear. But faith says even if they see me, even if they hear me, even if they know, even if they know that my windows are open to the east, even if they do throw me in the lion's den, I'm going to serve God anyway. Can I tell you, Daniel's battle was not won in the lion's den. Daniel's battle was won in his inner chamber when he opened those windows, knowing that the devil was coming for him with all hell, with everything he had. He knew that the devil was coming for him, but he continued to serve God faithfully. Let me tell you something. People are going to come for you. The enemy's going to come for you. The world's going to come for you. Daniel's battle was won. Come on. Daniel's faith said, even if they throw me in the den, it's still better than being separated from my God. What is life being separated from God? I'd rather go on to be with Jesus than be separated from him in this earth. Daniel understood that nothing was worth being separated from God. Daniel's battle was won when he opened those windows toward the east and he got down on those knees and he took it to the Lord in prayer. Daniel might have been doing what he regularly did. The Bible said Daniel went and he did what he did aforetime. That means Daniel did what he always did. Daniel might have been doing what he always did, but I promise you this time Daniel was doing it a little bit differently. I promise you this time when he knew that the decree was signed, because the Bible tells us that Daniel knew the decree was signed and he knew there was going to be consequences to living for God. But this time, Daniel went to the Lord in a different way. He might have done what he always did before, but I promise you this time there was a little bit more urgency, Brother Joe, when Daniel sought the Lord in prayer. Lord, you know they're going to throw me in the lion's den, but I trust you anyway. Lord, you know I've experienced hurt. You know I've been let down, but I trust you anyway. What are you going to do, run? What are you going to do, run from the only hope that you have? Do you realize if Daniel would have said, living is more important to me than serving God, he would have gave up the only hope he had, Brother Jacob. You really think that somebody hurting your feelings at church, or somebody not shaking your hand at church, or somebody not singing the song that you wanted them to sing, is worth giving up the only hope in your life? This is the only hope you got to make heaven your home. Daniel understood. Daniel knew that the enemy was coming for him, but he still went into his chamber. He still opened his windows to the east. He still cried out to God. Daniel's battle was won in the chamber. Daniel might have been doing what he regularly did, but I promise you this time was a little bit different. There's an old saying that says, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Daniel might even wrote that saying. He knew what some enemies were, Sister Trina. He knew what it was like to be backstabbed. He knew what it was like to be disappointed. He knew what it was like to be let down. Amen. I promise you, this time Daniel took it to the Lord in a different way. Keep your enemies close. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You know why they say that saying? Because you got to know your enemy. Come on, I'm talking to you today about when you know. What are you saying, Pastor John? I'm saying you better know your enemy. You better know his devices. You better know his attacks. You better know how he's going to come for you. You better know what he's going to use to try to get you. Amen. You got to know your enemy today. You got to know. Listen, you got to know that weapons will be formed against you, but they shall not prosper. You got to know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. You got to know that the enemy desires to sift you as wheat, but the Lord has already prayed for you. You got to know that all hell is not going to give up on you. It's going to fight against you, but your God is greater than all hell combined. You got to know your enemy today, and you got to know that he's coming for you. You got to know that the enemy's going to come in like a flood. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Huh? You got to know today that the enemy is not going to leave you alone. Desires to sift you as wheat. You got to know that when the saints of God gathered themselves together, that the devil came also. He did. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? You got to know, sometimes your walk with God's going to take you through some lonely places. You got to know that you have an enemy of your soul. You got to know that the enemy desires to sift you as wheat. You see, it's one thing when you don't know. It's another thing when you do know. How many of you ever watched them videos? I was watching on Fox News not long ago. They had one of these crime scenes they put on the TV, and they said, warning, this is graphic material. And I was watching right in the streets of downtown New York City. This elderly man was walking down the street just minding his own business. He didn't think nothing of it. It was just another beautiful day, and he's just walking down the streets of New York City, and a man comes up from behind him and reaches around and just sucker punched him right upside the head. And that elderly man fell to the ground unconscious. And man, a righteous indignation raised up in me, and I said, Lord, I wish I wasn't a pastor and I was standing before that man for just a few moments. Because let me tell you something, it's one thing when you know, it's another thing when you don't. And let me tell you something, that elderly man, he didn't have no idea that something was coming for him, sis. But let me tell you something, it's one thing when you don't know, the enemy can take you unaware. But it's another thing when you do know. You can begin to stand your position. You can begin to put up your guard. You can begin to summon angels from heaven. You can take it to your Lord in prayer. And that's what Daniel did. He took it to the Lord in prayer because he knew. You got to know your enemy today. You got to know the ways that he's going to work against you. You got to know that he would deceive the very elect if it were possible. You got to know that he's going to try the smallest of openings to come in and to work against you and to work against the church. You got to know. It's one thing when you don't know. It's another thing when you do know. We got to know our enemy today. We got to know that hell wants to stop us from receiving what God has for us. We got to know today. Amen. Listen, it's one thing when you don't know. It's another thing when you do know. Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Daniel knew his enemy. Daniel knew what his enemy was doing. He kept serving God anyway. He put his trust in God. He braced himself for what was about to come, and he took it to the Lord in prayer. Let me tell you something, you got to know your enemy today. When you sneak up on somebody, it's easy to knock them out. But when they know, they can prepare themselves. They can brace themselves. I've watched people push people. They catch them when they're walking on the wrong foot, and they catch them when that one foot's up on that side, and they push them, man, they'll tumble right over. But man, you walk up and you try to push somebody, and they stand there and they stand like this, you ain't going to push them over. It's one thing when you know. It's another thing when you don't know. You got to know the devil today. You got to know how Satan's going to attack you today. You got to read your Bible today. You got to know that he's going to use anything and everything he can to keep you from receiving your blessings in God. Let me tell you something today. What God has given you, you need to protect it. You need to protect it. It's worth protecting, Brother Teddy. It's worth protecting. It's worth taking a stand for. It's worth fighting for. It's worth taking a position for. You got to know how the enemy is going to come for you. You got to know that the enemy's coming, but the righteous have never been forsaken, church. You got to know that hell's going to launch an attack on you like you've never seen before. But God is always fighting for you. Come on, you've never seen the righteous forsaken. You got to know today that you can dance your way through despair. You got to know today that you can shout your way through the storm. You got to know today that you can praise your way and pray your way through the pain. I promise you, Daniel was upset that he knew everybody done stabbed him in the back, but he took it to the Lord in prayer and he prayed right through the pain. And when they put him down in that lion's den, the Lord wouldn't let those lions touch him. But the same was not true for his accusers. You got to know that you can clap your hands through the calamity. Hear this preacher today. Everything is different when you know. Everything is different when you know. You can brace yourself. You can fight. You can stand. You can summon help. Everything is different when you know. You see, the adversary wants to keep your attention on the problems rather than on the promise. He does. Your adversary wants to keep your attention on your problems more than on your promise. It's one thing when you don't know. It's another thing when you do know. And when he uses the element of surprise, that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to get you to focus on the problem. But when you know, you can focus on the solution. When you know, you can prepare yourself for the battle. Daniel knew the lion's den was coming, church, but it didn't keep him from serving God anyway. I need everybody in this church to know today that hell is coming for you. Hell is coming for your family. Hell is coming for your prayer life. Hell is coming for your church attendance. Hell is coming for your marriage. Hell is coming for your children. You better learn your enemy. You better learn to stand and fight. You better know your enemy today. Because when you know, everything is different. When you know, you can summons the Lord Almighty. You can tell him, God, you know all hell is attacking me, but my trust is in you. Lord, you know this could cost me everything. Lord, you know this is going to cost me some friendships. Lord, you know this is going to drive some people out of my life, but I trust you anyway. When you know, the enemy wants to keep your attention on your problems rather than on your promises. Tell your neighbor, you got to know. You got to know. Let me tell you something. You can go into any problem with the boldness of the Holy Ghost when you know. When you know that God will not fail you. When you know that God will not desert you. When you know that God will not turn his back on you. When you know the enemy's coming like a flood. When you know, you can stand and fight. You can tell yourself, the Lord's fighting for me. I just got to be focused on what God is doing in my life. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, how do you do it? How do you handle the critics? I said, well, I do nothing, I be nothing, and I say nothing. Because haters are always going to be haters. And critics are always going to be critics. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. And what happens whenever you let hell pull you away from your purpose? You get caught up in meaningless battles that don't amount to nothing. The best thing you can do to your critics is give it to God. Like Daniel didn't go out and try to pick a fight with the presidents. Daniel didn't go out and try to pick a fight with the counselors. Daniel didn't even go back to the king and try to convince him to undo the decree. Daniel took it to the Lord in prayer because he knew where his help come from. He lifted his eyes unto the hills where his help come from. That's what happens when you know. When you know that God will fight for you. You know that God will take care of the issues. You know that God will deliver you in the midst of everything. And Daniel knew he couldn't go without praying to God, even if they were going to throw him in the lion's den. Church, When you know, you can go into any problem with the boldness of the Holy Ghost. When you know, you can surrender it to God. You can give it to God in prayer. You can release it to God and it becomes his battle. When you know. But it's when you don't know. It's when you won't listen. It's when you resist the direction of God in your life. It's when you resist spiritual leadership and spiritual authority in your life. It's when you resist God's plan for your life. Guess what? The devil's going to catch you unaware. The devil's going to catch you with a sucker punch that's going to take the wind right out of you. But when you know you can stand strong on the rock, which is Christ, you can stand strong on the gospel, which still saves. You can hold fast to the plan of salvation that the Lord washed and cleansed you by the blood of the Lamb and filled you with His Spirit. And today the Lord is fighting for you. When you know, it's when you don't know. It's when you don't know, the enemy will catch you by surprise. You better learn. Keep your friends close, but you better keep your enemies closer. You better know what you're doing. You see, the adversary is good at what he does. I believe it was Billy Graham who once said, "The Lord is a good God, and Satan is a good devil." Not good as in his works. He's good at what he does. He's good at his job. Let me tell you something. He can find that loophole in your marriage. He can find that little issue between you and your children. He can find that little problem that you have in your finances. He's good at what he does. But when you know that the enemy's going to come in like a flood, you can surrender it to the Lord. You can give it to God in prayer. That's what Daniel did. And that's the message that I'm hearing from the book of Daniel this week, is we got to know. We got to know our enemy today. Tell your neighbor, you got to know. Church, if you're going to have a close walk with the Lord, you got to know who He is. And in the same fashion, if you're going to be able to resist the devil, you got to know who he is also. You got to know what he's going to do. You got to know how he's going to come at you. If you're going to be able to resist the devil, you got to know him. You got to know how he works. You got to understand his devices. Can I tell you, it is possible today to eliminate the element of surprise. The church can know that living for God is going to cost you something. Living for God creates an enemy of your soul. And hell has darkness that wants to stop you from receiving what God has for you. But when you know, you can give it to the Lord as Daniel did. If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know the enemy, and you know how to take it to the Lord in prayer, 100 battles will come, Brother Joe, and you will not lose one. As long as you know your enemy and you know what you have to do about your enemy and you know who to take it to, you do not have to fear the end result of your battles. David said it best when he said, "The battle's not mine. The battle belongs to the Lord." And Daniel understood that even if I die, I'm going to die believing in God, trusting in God. Daniel understood that this is not my battle. I'm going to give it to the Lord in prayer. And that's exactly what he did, because he knew his enemy. He knew. And we got to know today. Church, if you're going to have a close walk with the Lord, you got to know who he is. And if you're going to be able to resist the devil, you got to know who he is. If you have a tempter, you can resist temptation if you know about that tempter. Huh? Come on, if you know that he's the father of lies, you know that you're going to have to shake off some of his lies. If you know that he's coming for you like a flood, you already know that the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. But you got to know. If you know he wants to sow discord among the brethren, you can mark those that cause division among you and not take part in that mess. But you got to know your enemy. You got to know the devil. Because if this ain't just about learning the Lord. This ain't just about learning to walk with God. This is about knowing that you're going to have attacks on your soul. And you got to know. Stand with me today as the musicians come quickly. You know, I want you to get this down in your spirit today. Daniel's life in Christ was not the result, Brother Mike, of the Lord's miraculous intervention down in the lion's den. I'm going to say that again because you need to get it in your spirit. Daniel's life in Christ was not a result of the fact that God shut those lions' mouths. God shutting those lions' mouths was the result of Daniel's life in Christ. It was what Daniel did in the chamber that mattered. It was what Daniel did when people backstabbed him that mattered. It was what Daniel did when he was disappointed that mattered. It wasn't what happened down in the lion's den. That was the result of his life in Christ. That was the result of what he did every day of his life. See, we know we're not saved by consecration. We're not saved because I put on a suit this morning and come to the house of God. This suit, you can put it on me when I go to the grave, Sister Debbie, and it's going to rot in the ground. This suit has nothing to do with my salvation. But my salvation causes me to bring my first fruits to God. My salvation creates consecration unto the Lord. It causes me to want to bring my very best to the Lord. You see, when I stand up here in the worship teams worshiping, and I'm seeking the Lord and I'm giving Him praise, that's not what saves my soul. That's the result of Him saving my soul. I give Him glory and I give Him praise because He brought me out of darkness into His marvelous light. What happened to Daniel in the lion's den did not produce his salvation. He knew God long before the enemy attacked him. His life in Christ brought about miraculous results. Can I tell you, it's what you do at home in front of that husband and those children. It's what you do at home when you're at the house. It's what you do when you're with your friends. It's what you say when you're not in the house of God that produces God's miraculous intervention in your life. You can come to church. You can worship God. You can do everything you're supposed to. But what's your life in Christ like? What are you doing every day of your life? What happened to Daniel in the lion's den was not, it didn't produce his salvation. Daniel already knew the Lord. It was every day of his life walking with God, seeking God, opening his windows, praying to God, giving every battle to the Lord. This was just another battle to Daniel. When you know there is no such thing as big battles and little battles, when you know that they all belong to the Lord. When you know, it's not surprising when the enemy comes against you because you already know. Your Bible tells you that you have an adversary of your soul, but you got to know. You got to understand. If you make it through this battle, guess what? Another one's down the road. If you make it through this trial, if you make it through this temptation, just understand. There's another one down the road. But when you know that God will never fail you, when you know that God will never desert you, God bless your hearts. I know most of your lives, and I know some of the stuff you go through, and I know some of the things that you've been through in the last several years, and I pray and I intercede and I ask God to help you. But can I tell you, when you get through it, there's another one down the road. You just got to come to the conclusion that Daniel came to. I know that I cannot afford to be separated from my God. Because this is just another one of many battles that are to come in my life. I promise you, the lion's den was not the last battle that Daniel faced. And I promise you that whatever you're going through today, whatever you're facing, Whatever's got you contemplating on throwing in the towel. Whatever's got you thinking about just giving it all up. Whatever's got you thinking it's not worth it anymore. I just tired of fighting. Let me tell you, it's just another battle. They all belong to the Lord when you know. But you got to know. You got to know. You got to seek God every day of your life. You got to trust God in every situation of your life. The difference is, when you don't know, when you don't listen, when you don't heed, when you don't hear the preacher when he's preaching, you don't know that the enemy's coming for you. He's going to catch you unaware. He's going to catch you with the element of surprise, and he's going to take the wind right out of your sail. But when you're faithful to God, and when you know the enemy's coming for you, but the Lord's going to raise up a standard against him, when you know that not one of your battles belong to you as long as you open your windows to the east, amen, and give it to God, you can know today, you can rest assured today, that every battle belongs to the Lord when you know. But you got to know. You got to know that God will not fail you. We're going to get ready to sing a closing song today. I pray that the Lord speaks into your spirit today what he spoke into mine. You got to know. You got to know. It won't be over until we take our last breath. It won't be over until we stand before that judgment throne. It won't be over until we walk on streets of gold and see gates of pearl. It won't be over. Every battle will belong to the Lord. It's just another battle. Give it to God in prayer today, and he'll take it, and he'll see you through. He'll shut the lion's mouth. He'll do the impossible for you. He'll make a way where there don't seem to be a way. These altars are open.